You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Barryville is a hamlet in rural America, part of the Upper Delaware River Valley in the Western Catskills, but it could be anywhere. Barryville is the climax of civilization. Yeah, the Trump flags are flying, even as gay bikers are rolling through town. This is a hot take on rural America. And whether you're new to rural living, if you've ever been bullied or beaten up in the country, or live in the city and just dream of getting away, this show is for you.
Everything's better in Barryville.
Everybody's talking at me.
Still sound good, John. You still got it.
Ho, ho, ho. It's 2023.
I feel like I missed you desperately.
Well, I feel like I saw you a lot, but I also, I miss you when we're not together.
It's so sweet. I saw you a lot. I saw you here eating latkes. I saw you eating some brisket here today, having soup and salad. What else did I feed you since the last time we got together?
And then we broke bread together over at the Bitches New Year's Day, which was so fun.
Beautiful. And this is how traditions are born.
Yeah, I like both these new traditions. I love the latke party and I really love the Bitches brunch. It was great.
All right. Next year in Barryville.
Oh,
how about
my
that?
God.
All
how
right. So New Year's Eve, my least favorite night of the year. Were you hungover on New Year's Day?
No, I was still drunk on New Year's Day. I had a blast. You know, we weren't able, due to unforeseen circumstances, we were not open at the Oasis, but we did have like a little tiny karaoke party. We had a few couples over and we hooked up the TV karaoke system and some real weirdness. But I do have to say, I don't know if anybody saw it, but Erica, you know, from down at the Barryville General, killed it on I Will Survive. I mean, that girl gives it her biggest go she can on the karaoke mic.
Well, when are we going to have a go at that song? I'm getting the Casio tone out, John. That's going to be our new jam. As long as you weren't hungover on New Year's Day, because that is a cliche that I can't handle. But if you were, this is the opportunity.
No, I took an 8-hour break to sleep, and then I got up and started having Bloody Marys over the Bitches. It was great. There was no downtime.
I wasn't hungover, but I still did my favorite hangover cure, which is to drink a beer in the shower. It's the only thing that works.
That is so crazy.
No, it's not crazy. It makes sense. You know, don't mock it till you try it. Like Bob Dylan said, don't criticize things you don't understand. A cold beer and a hot shower is the only thing that works. And by the way, it's not just a hangover cure. It is basically the solution to all of life's smaller problems. And on a good day in the summer, I think three showers and three beers is like an ideal. Like you get up and you have your beer in the shower because you're on vacation and you're on the beach somewhere and you get ready for the day, you get a little morning beer buzz on, and then come lunchtime or dinner time, you want to change, you want to wash the ocean off your back and change your clothes. So that's another opportunity to have a beer in the shower. Why not? Why should dinner be the first drink you have, you know, after 5 o'clock? It makes no sense.
What are you doing and to get then, that dirty three times in the day?
Well, I'm out swimming, I'm playing in the sand, I'm rolling around, you know, in the bungalow with my wife. At the end of the night, because you're out again and it's hot because, you know, because it's summertime, you want to wash off before you get back in bed. So you have another beer in the shower. Three beers, three showers.
You heard it here first. Here's advice. Listen, I'm so excited for our guest today. From a really deep, deep place in my heart, I love these two so much. You know, I work with Margie at the pantry. She is the sergeant of the pantry in Yulin. And Daryl Barnes is the most helpful person I've encountered in town. Anytime a sign needs to go up or the chamber's doing some project, he's always the first one to come out and help. They're salt of the earth people, and we're really lucky to have them here today and in town all the time.
They are people who make Barryville better, no question. And guess what, John?
What's that?
I'm bringing you some gospel from the garage today.
Ooh.
We're going to end the show. I'm going to sing a song, some positive
energy. What are you guys
energy,
doing?
Some positive, I don't know yet. Maybe all aboard this train. We'll see. But I guarantee you it's going to be a positive message for a new year, 2023. You got any predictions for 2023?
I predict that the Barryville Oasis camel will have a name and he will live a good life and honor this town.
I'm still voting for Ahmed. All right, we'll be back with our guests right after this.
Everything's better in Barryville.
All right, and we're back. And John, winter is upon us, or so it seems.
No, it's not. It's 60 degrees today.
Well, let's just say the apocalypse is upon us, but I guarantee
we'll
you,
take it.
Snow is a coming, and up here in the Catskills where we live, or the pussy Catskills, as I've heard.
Oh!
It was a comment by a very snide real estate agent when we're up here shopping. Honey, this isn't the Catskills, this is the pussy Catskills.
Hmm. I don't think I'm ready to take that as a moniker for our neck of the woods.
There's also some debate as whether we're part of the borscht belt, but the guy that keeps the streets clean of borscht and snow and everything else and keeps our crazy mountain roads safe is here with us today. It's Daryl Barnes. He's the foreman of the Town of Highland Highway Department. And you're doing a killer job keeping these roads clean. I'm always amazed, Daryl.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. I mean, you know, you guys, I think for most people recognize are the most important department in town, and you get the biggest part of the budget. What do you guys do with that budget, and is there ever enough money?
There's never enough money. We could always do more, you know, but we have to work with what we have and make it work. It's a tough puzzle to put together for some people, but the way it's been going, we've been doing pretty good.
Hey, so. Winter is no joke up here. I mean, for real, and these roads are kooky, crazy, curvy. I mean, there are some parts of these roads you can't go more than 10 yards without turning, you know, some crazy hairpin turn. And I am amazed every time I roll out my driveway, once I get my driveway melted. Yeah. That's on me, not on you guys. The roads are clear. It's incredible. By nighttime, by midnight, the roads are clear.
Yeah. Normally, by the time it stops snowing, give us 2 hours after it stops. And normally the roads are drivable.
And it's because you guys literally, I don't know if anybody out there has been to the highway department, but it's literally set up like a big bunkhouse. I mean, these guys are sleeping in armchairs, taking a little break and then going back out.
We didn't want anybody to know about that.
Sorry. Yeah. They're just partying down, drinking beer, eating. No, I'm just joking. But like, tell us a little bit about it. Like, so when we do get a big snowfall, do you guys sleep there? How often do you go out? What's that look like?
Yeah, well, we only have six guys. So, you know, we have to stay there as long as we have to. There's been a couple times when we stayed two nights there. So we work till 11, 12 o'clock and sleep for 3 or 4 hours and then go back out.
Wow.
And luckily, our new shop has a full kitchen in it and everything, so we can have food because, you know, as you know, around here, everything closes. So.
That's what I was going to ask. I'm picturing all you guys standing around in your long johns waiting for the bell to ring, cooking chili, you know, and sharing recipes. How far off am I?
We don't take our clothes off. But no, we're sleeping in our work clothes, and there's a couple of recliners, there's a couple of couches, and, you know, we get our sleep in as much as we can, and get after it. So,
well, obviously winter is the tough time of year, and snow is no joke up here, but the summertime too, you guys are always on the road. What are you doing behind the scenes that keeps us safe here in the summertime that we don't necessarily see?
Well, we have paving projects every year that that we try to get done. We seal the roads, surface treating. We clean the ditches out, replace pipes, trim trees, mowing grass, you know, a little bit of everything in the summertime.
And everybody knows that Daryl is the go-to in the highway department. If you need a historical moniker put up, if you want to paint a mural on the ground, if you want to put up like some signage for the byway, Daryl's always the person that every community ancillary organization goes to because he knows the place back and forwards. And yeah, it's great.
I want to know, can you do something about that crazy fog we had today? And, and two-part question, can you do something about the guy in the pickup truck that was driving 1 foot behind me with zero visibility and passed me on a double line?
Yeah, so he must have known you're not from around.
Yeah,
and yet
you looked furry.
And yet, you know, how long do I have to be from around here before I'm around from around here?
You got to die, Mike. You got to die here, and then some.
I'm planning on it. Like I say, I may not be from here, but I plan on dying here, and that should count for something.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it should.
I wanted to ask Daryl. So I know that you definitely keep a busy schedule with the highway department, but you and Jill also went into business together doing real estate, correct?
Yes. Well. We're partners, me and Jill. Everybody thinks that Jill has her own real estate company with Cabins and Canoes, but it's not. But she takes the credit. She goes, yeah, it's fine. It's mine.
No, her and Debbie are great together,
yes,
too.
Debbie's a great broker to work for. And But yeah, it's still a crazy real estate market around here too. So we're riding a wave as long as we can.
Well, Jill was the agent for the seller when we moved up here and did a great job. Everything went smoothly, and I've never been happier.
And we bought our building from Jill, too, one of the new buildings, the old Trey L. Berry building. So, yeah, she's clearly everywhere and doing it, and now she's got Daryl helping her.
All right, keeping the highways clean and making dreams come true.
Ow! Daryl, can you stick around while we talk to Margie?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush, green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Everything's better in Berryville.
I'll tell you what, Johnny, I never get tired of your little applause machine.
What do you mean, applause machine? It's time to give the studio audience their day in the sun.
Yeah, whatever, but I'll tell you what. Later tonight when I'm here alone, I'm going to push that button over and over and over again to, you know, make myself feel a little special.
All right, it's time for our next guest.
All right, you can tell us. Who do we got, Johnny? Rock and roll, let's go.
We got the big boss, the sergeant, the corporal, the queen of mean with the biggest heart, a member of the Lions Club, a member of the Rosarians, a Sunshine Library volunteer, the former treasurer of the ambulance service, and the Yulin Pantry director. It's Margie Granisi. Welcome, Margie.
Thank you.
So, Margie, first, before we get to anything, I thought you were going to get me a gig at the senior center.
Mike, I'm working on that. The president wasn't too happy, but now that I'm going to be more involved in that, I'm going to push it. But we'll talk about that later.
All right. She can pull a few strings.
This is where, I, you know, the youth market has done nothing for me.
Well, sorry. You know, Margie and I were already together today. We did the food pantry with a really light crew. And we tease her, but she really keeps such a tight ship up there. We call her the lieutenant and the corporal, depends on who's talking, but she's really the big boss of it, but she earns her title. I mean, this woman will drive 100 miles for a can-can sale. If she can find tuna cheaper in another town 5 miles away, she'll do it too. So tell us about how you got started actually with the food pantry.
This is how I got started. St. Anthony of Padua Church in Yulin. I am a member. Father Tom at the time, Father Tom Jones, it was a big joke, had somebody else in charge and they quit. And he walked up to me and said, "Hey, Margie, here's the keys. You're in charge of the food pantry."
Oh.
I said, "Father, I know nothing about the food pantry. I know how to eat, but I don't know how to do anything like that." So he said, "That's okay. You'll learn." I had 46 cents in an envelope. And then I got additional money, and that's how it all started. I was in a panic and said, "This is the church's money. I have to spend it properly." And I went from store to store to store to get the good buys, because everything in there was salt, 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 salt. You cannot give senior citizens healthy food with all that salt.
Yeah.
So it is a job that I take pride in doing it. And yes, call me a general, a colonel, what you call me, but it's really a full-time job, even though it's a volunteer job, and it does take a lot of time.
But it's such an important thing for our community. I mean, I can't believe, you know, right now we have about 24, 25 families that come on the regular, and, you know, for such a small community, that those numbers aren't great. You know, that there's, you know, 25 families in need. Is a big deal, and the fact that you're there and the church is there to provide the service is pretty amazing.
And John, it's not just the church. We are so, so fortunate. Our PEX market just did a fundraiser for us. We got over $700 for that.
Oh, that's great.
And I get the food from them. We also have parishioners and personal friends that donate money. If I had to just depend on the church's money, they wouldn't get all they get.
Yeah, and now we've, you know, in the past year, we've onboarded Single Bite, too. Yes. So they get prepared meals from Foster Supply in a Single right. Bite, which is great.
Fresh meals.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
Wonderful.
We're very
wonderful,
grateful.
Wonderful stuff.
Well, what a lot of people don't know out in Radio Land is John ran, of course, last year, lost by a very, very narrow margin for town supervisor. And you were on the ticket with John, even though you guys aren't really officially part of the same party. You kind of created
We started
a
our
new
own party.
Party.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In town and in the state of New York, you know, you can start a party, basically. And it's there's also other things where you can run as like a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative, everything. But, you know, we didn't want any of those monikers to dissuade anybody from supporting us because we're definitely on the same page. And, you know, those titles don't really matter so much in a small town. And so we started a party called Lifting Neighbors. And I was proud to run with Margie. I was proud to go door to door with Margie. We met, I'd say, almost everybody in town that we didn't already know.
I was proud to vote for you guys.
It was a
and
blast.
I think I voted for you on the Lifting Neighbors party. You know, the weird thing was I was never registered with any political party before I moved up to the town of Highland because, you know, it's like that, I don't want to be a member of a party that would have someone like me as a member kind of thing.
Agreed.
I don't trust national politics. It's too corporate. It's too weird. Everybody's taking money from somebody. It's no secret I tend to
You don't think that happens hard. Locally?
I tend to lean hard left. It's not a secret, but I vote that party line, but I'm not a member of that party until I came here where my vote mattered, and I realized that.
Right.
And when I went to the caucus, that's why I registered Democrat when I got here, so I could support you. I found out that your opponent was kind of people were registering Democrats so he could be on both the Democrat part of the ticket and the Republican part of the ticket. And the first thing he says, "Whoa, that's not cricket." You know,
that's small town bullshit.
But yeah, but it's that happens everywhere. But it's like, hey, let's have a race and see where the cards lie. That just it turned me off so much, and that was within being here about 15 seconds.
But I do have to tell you though, it's not just my opponent that does that. That's like a New York State small thing.
It's not just New York.
Yeah, because, no, yeah. There's a lot of states that honor it, but it's
not just New York. I talked to my friends in Vermont and New Hampshire and a few other places, and they said, oh yeah, that's a classic old school trick.
All the commie states. Right.
Yeah, small town politics.
It really, really is incredible. But I do want to give Margie and John both a lot of credit, but Margie especially for opening, you know, the road to see, you know, be able to look in both directions and not just this weird. I need a D after my name to run or to get Mike's vote.
Yeah, and they both did very well.
Margie, especially, I have to say, because she was fully on an independent line. You know, she didn't get endorsed by the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. So she was literally just rogue out there.
One morning, we were working on Woods Road right up from Margie's house. She turned on the road and she knew one of the guys, Jimmy. And so she's talking and she drives away. I see her later on that day and I go, aren't you running for office? She goes, yeah, yes, I am. I said, you know, you had six guys standing there. And you only talked to one, and nobody knew who you were. And she goes, man. Oh, my God, I got to get better at that. And that's all part of it, you know, just talking to people. And the more people you talk to in this town, if you take the time to go to their house and knock on their doors, that's how you get elected, really.
And it was so gratifying, too, because it's not like it's just about the election. It's actually really wonderful to meet your neighbors and know who you're surrounded by.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, Margie and I had a lot of fun. We got invited in for dinner a lot of times with some people.
Well, thanks to you guys. John, you made me feel very welcome right when we got to town, and I met Margie soon after. And you're a lion, right, Margie, and a few other things.
I am.
And it was you and a few other people said, you got to get up, you got to get into it, you got to get involved. And voter registration was one of the first things my wife and I did. We met so many people, nonpartisan, just, hey, we feel we're best represented when we're best represented. And we met so many people. And that was very, very important to be part of the community. And I look up to you guys. I do. Margie, I really look up to you.
Thank you. And I would never have done that if Johnny didn't say, look, we really need your help. I don't know anything about politics. Give me behind the scenes and I'm good. But going to a few town hall meetings and seeing the nepotism that is in this town just made me sick. And people do not want to address it. People do not want to look at it. And they put it on the back burner. And we did it once and we got so close. But there's going to be another election. So you know what? Hold on to your seats.
All right, here we go. Here's the million-dollar question. Johnny, will you run again?
I'm not sure.
All right. Thank you guys very much. We're going to be back with the news right after this and maybe more tough questions for Johnny Pizzolatto. All right. That was excellent, and I am genuinely inspired and impressed and kind of in awe of both Daryl and Marjorie John.
I love those two guys. I mean, they're some of my favorite people in town, and they're just both incredible. They're so good at what they both do.
I can't wait. We're going to get Daryl back after the frost and talk about whatever snowpocalypse is coming at us. We're going to get Marjorie back, too.
Yeah, but can you believe what a sunny day it is and like how there's no snow on the ground after the weather tried to kill us a couple weeks ago?
Just wait for it, for my friend. All right. You ready for the news, Johnny?
Yes, I am.
All right. And here we go. Here's the news with your host, Johnny Pizzolatto.
I'm Johnny Pizzolatto, and this is the news to me. Some disappointing news for fans of the Skinners Falls Bridge. Well, it could go either way, actually. They're going to take another 2 years to contemplate whether it should be replaced or it should be repaired. You know, speaking to the other bridges that have been replaced, it could go one of two ways. It could go the way of the Berryville-Shohola Bridge, which didn't turn out so great and probably is going to need to be replaced in a couple years. It's a big hunk of junk. Or it could go the way of the Pond Eddy Bridge, which is beautiful and seems like a really great historical reproduction.
I depend on the Shohola Berryville Bridge. What's going on over there that I'm not aware of?
I mean, go under it. It looks like crap. It does not look like the rendering that it was supposed to. The lookouts were supposed to have these like covers. It was supposed to be really wonderful, and they didn't complete the job.
Wait, so a public works didn't look like the rendering?
Correct. And there was no canopies over the lookouts, which was the whole point of them, to seek refuge if it were to start raining.
Refuge in the rain. That's kind of important. Bridges are important in a river town. I mean, it can't be overstated.
Yeah, but you know, this one strikes me very deep because this wonderful man, Ed Wesley, pretty much dedicated the latter part of his life to saving the bridge. And he would bring, you know, pictures of bridges from all angles and, report on the vegetation around the bridge. He was such a wonderful man. He passed away just last year, but he was truly dedicated to saving this bridge, and I'm up for the fight. You know, I would. It's up to PennDOT actually in the end, but you know, hopefully they are able to save it.
All right, obviously very important to hear in the Delaware River Corridor. What else we got, John?
Well, on December 30th, 2022, which is just last year, the first legal pot store opened up in New York City.
I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Yeah, at 420, a big stoner.
Oh, God. No, I'm getting a little tired of the 420 cliche, though. Does it all have to be at 420?
It seems okay. So like fish fan garbage.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, Bob, I get it.
Yeah, bah. But I know that our town, I know at the last workshop meeting, the town was discussing like the zoning, like where the dispensary should be. You know, like by my folks' house in Illinois, they have it way, way, way out, you know, on the highway, you know, just off of an exit, because it's a small town similar to ours. And, you know, they don't have it public facing, you know, which I think is a really great idea. I also don't think it should be by bars, in my opinion,
because I agree
dealing
with
stone drunk people is not a good look.
Speaking
at all.
From experience.
Hey,
yeah. Hey, well, you know, my thing is I was not necessarily into our town opting into the retail pot thing. I mean, we're going to be surrounded by it. I mean, I've never had a problem copping pot in my entire life. I mean, I think there was about 8 days in 1978 where I was trying to score a joint to go to a Jethro Tull concert, but someone came through in the end.
Oh,
New
Jesus.
York City. You know what I like about the law, though? No, I don't think anybody should go to jail for smoking pot. I think it's very civilized to go into a chic pot retail thing. I don't like the fact that all of Manhattan now smells like a Neil Young concert, and I think there's some negative vibes attached to being stoned all the time.
Well,
I don't think it's going to be the tax dollars that everyone thinks it's going to be. I think there's a green rush to opening these dispensaries, and I don't think the payoff's going to be that big, especially when everybody is selling pot. What I do like, though, John, as you know this, I'm very strong on this, is that it should be local farmers growing the weed.
Well, why don't we wait for the weed show? Because we have the town's biggest stoner coming. The votes are still being tallied. And normal lawyer and High Times lawyer David Holland is going to come up and talk to us about weed.
I'm going to look forward to it. You know, I got a few things to say about it. What else you got?
Yeah, clearly. Just before the new year also, two Titan women that were so important to the world passed away. Number one, Vivienne Westwood, who has always been my favorite designer and kind of like got me interested in fashion because it was like fashion for the people and punk rock and all the wonderful things she stood for and devoted like her later life to climate change. Really wonderful designer and revolutionary. Also for you Sex and the City fans, Carrie's like most iconic licks were created by Miss Vivian Westwood. Again, later in her life, but you know, everybody knows her for the Sex Pistols and their costuming. And Barbara Walters, who I met on a couple occasions. She was a legend. She changed the scope of news and she changed the scope of women in media. So for that, I say, pour out one of your beer for your homies.
I think it's incredible that the first line of Vivian Westwood's obituary is always going to be the Sex Pistols. And so many people who know her from her later work in Sex and the City probably never even heard a Sex Pistols record. And I think it's another victory, kind of like marijuana being legal, that these things...
Oh,
that,
Jesus, again with
yeah,
the...
Yeah, well, you know, these are the things that were signs...
Spoken like a true pothead.
Or a punk rocker, or a punk rocker, Johnny. Because these things that were taken as rebellious, you know... enemies of the state.
Oh, wait, I have to stop you. Wait, I have to stop you. I have to stop you. What's that in the sky?
Oh,
is that a bird? Is that a plane? No, it's Tiffany Diamond in the Berryville weather copter. Let's hear from Tiffany.
Hello, it's Tiffany Diamond here at the Berryville radio traffic helicopter. Hi, guys. I'm up above the intersection at Route 55 and 97. And, you know, the bridge that goes over to Shohola. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this town that don't know what to do with a flashing light. People are slowing down, stopping. It's just chaos. Well, there's only one car. And if one car could create chaos, well, just so everyone knows, the flashing red light is like a stop sign. You stop. And the flashing yellow light is like a yellow light, so you speed up.
Tiffany, I don't think the yellow light actually means speed up.
Okay, well, I can't hear you. The helicopter is a little bit too loud here. Hey, oh, another car is coming. This should be interesting. Let's see what happens. Okay, over and out from Tiffany Diamond up in the Berryville Radio traffic helicopter.
All right. That was quite the segment from Miss Tiffany Diamond. And that's going to be a regular thing because we spent big bucks on that Berryville helicopter.
All right, John, who authorized the helicopter?
The same maniac that got the satellite to beam in the girls a couple weeks ago.
All right. Everything's in Better at Berryville is going big tech.
Big, big, big. Oh, and one last thing. We have one more submission for the naming of the camel at the Berryville Oasis. And it's roughly dawn, but it comes from the original Greek word Enotion, which is apparently the first camels came from North America during the Enotion era. The Greek translation means dawn. Not sure if you've already unveiled the name, but Mary Jones Mellon put this one into the ring, and I'm into it. I never knew if it was a boy or a girl camel, but keep those names coming. If you have a submission, we're going to close it by the end of January, and you can email us at berryvilleradio@gmail.com, and you can see a picture on our Facebook page. Everything's Better in Berryville on Facebook, and you'll see a picture of the camel, so you can tell us what you think its name should be.
Remind me, John, I see the camel every day, but does it have one hump or two?
It has two. Roswell went to great lengths. He drove all the way out to Southampton. There was plenty of camels with one hump that could be got much closer to home, but he's a maniac, and so he really, really went high and low and got pulled over in Massapequa because they said, you're going to behead your camel. Where are you going, young man? And he said, well, of course this is going into an activity scene. What do I look like? Totally lied to law enforcement.
Well, all right then. I look forward to seeing more names of the camel. I'm still voting for Ahmed because I think that was the name of the camel in Ishtar. So that's kind of where I'm at. All right. Guess what happens now?
Oh, my God. Is it Mike Edison and Rocket Train?
The Edison Rocket Train is going to come. We're bringing gospel from the garage. I get to be our special musical guest today, and I've never been more thrilled. So we're going to take a quick break.
Holy smokes.
I'm going to put on my guitar. I've got Rebecca DeRosa, the woman of mystery, about to kick the traps with me. So we're going to take a
quick... I love that girl. She can really cut a rug, too.
Yes, she can. All right, we're going to be back right after this with a little gospel from the garage and the Edison Rocket Train. Can you dig it?
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Edison Rocket Train.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. All right, let's get up. Let's get into it. Yeah.
love that. That was rocking, buddy.
Oh, man. All right, let me get back here, back to the control center here at Barrieville Radio.
What an amazing Woo. Show! We'd like to thank our incredible guests, Margie and Daryl, our host, Heritage Radio, WJFF, for adding us to their online platform.
All right,
and all of you for tuning in. We love you so much. Thank you again. Thanks to WJFF for also having us on this Friday. Tune in. We're out.
All right, almost. We're going to go out on a train. What kind of train are we going on, Johnny?
Rocket train.
That's right. It ain't the 420 to Calicoon. It ain't the train to Port Jervis. It's the gospel train from all of us to all of you with lots of love. All aboard.
Everything's better in Barrieville.
This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. Don't take another mother right to save the holy. This train, oh, this train, oh, this train, but I'm gonna take another. This train, oh, this train, but I don't take no gamblers. This train, this train, it don't take no gamblers. No crapper shooters, no midnight ramblers. This train, oh, this train.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.